Bush drives one in the air, deep right center. Back goes Haniger. It's got a chance. Gone. Long gone. In fact, you can get out the tape measure from Michael Bush. He has now homered in four consecutive games, and the Cubs lead 3-0. A 2-2. Bouncer toward the middle. Swanson has it, throws to first, double play. 1-1 from Alzola. Instead of pickoff throw, not in time, not in time. Very close play. Craig Counsell says, wait a minute, we might want you to look at that one again. Watch it again. What do you see, JD?
Wow, really hard to tell when the tag was applied and when the hand actually got to the base. And they'll break it down back in New York. They'll look frame by frame. They'll do that mosaic where they get multiple looks at the same time. And they'll be able to come to a better conclusion. Right now, I can't see enough to overturn. But again, if I'm the Cubs, I'm definitely challenging this.
After review, the call of the field is overturned. The runner is out.
Oh, boy. He's out, and the Cubs How about win that? The ball game. The Cubs win the ball game.
And it was marquee yesterday with Pat doing the play-by-play. And the Cubs won on the pickoff at the end with a review. Not good news, though, today, if you're just tuning in. Jesse had this earlier, and we were trying to pinpoint the injury. Good job by Jesse on the scoop. He knew that Alexander Canario was coming up today because someone in the outfield was banged up. And eventually we knew that it was Seiya, who, after trying to leg out something in the eighth inning yesterday, he was the guy who didn't look right. And then it was a matter of, hey, was he going to go on the IL? And as we told you in the last segment, sure enough, yes, he's going on the IL. So if you're just tuning in, Canario up, Seiya to the 10-day IL, and it's an oblique injury. So after a really hot start, another untimely injury. They're never well-timed. But Seiya has had his battles with injuries in his two-plus years here in Chicago. But this has been the best he's looked so far. And you were hoping that he would really take that next step. And he still may take that next step. But they've been banged up, too, especially with the pitching staff. So you could use all the offense you can get. Canario, hopefully he'll get a chance to play. And he's called up while Seiya is out.
Feels like it's the hamstring for the wide receiver, the oblique for a good baseball player. It just nags, and you become almost prone to it in some ways. I don't know if this is what he has had in the past, but boy, he's always right there on the cusp of just right taking there. That step to being one of the better players in Major League Baseball, and then little setback.
Something happened.
Little setback.
Yeah, yep. So there's that. The White Sox, as we were talking about, historically bad. Yeah. We were asking you, are they the worst Sox? Are they the worst baseball team of your lifetime? Are they the worst Chicago sports team of your lifetime? A couple poll questions brought to you by Toyota out there. The White Sox did have a team meeting today.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then we're 10 days away from the NFL draft. We have those exclusive Bears draft party tickets at Soldier Field. It is currently sold out.
It's quite a time.
Yes, we're going to be there. We're going to be broadcasting from there. We'll be there when the Bears make their pick at 1 and then maybe make their pick at 9. Last year it ended up being at 10 because they traded back one spot. So we'll be there for the big draft party. We're going to give away those tickets at 5:20. So coming up in about 13 minutes from right now. So be waiting for that. And about 5:20 all this week, we'll give away a pair of tickets each day with draft trivia, Bears draft trivia, to give those away. So we're basically caught up there. Let me take a call or two. Is that cool? Then we'll get to hockey's A-list. Yes. Let me take Tim in Downers, since he had a Bears comment that he wanted to make, and he's been very patient. Tim, you're on ESPN 1000.
Talk last week about the draft picks and everything. So tell you that Rory McIlroy story has me off the edge of my seat, though.
In what way? Does it make you upset?
Golf is like like, yesterday was Christmas, you know, and I rooted against LIV golfers like I root against the green and gold. I despise them all. And if he leaves, and, like, if a chef were to leave, it would just destroy me. I don't know. This is bothersome. But on a good note, the Bears. Caleb has won me over. We talked about that last week. I think the kid's going to be a star. And these RG3s and you know, Stephen A. Smith's of the world saying demand to trade, everything else. The upside that nobody's talking about, which maybe you have because I can't listen 24/7, the upside Caleb has coming to Chicago, if he is the man, if he – and we have to protect him. They need to build the offensive line to protect this kid like no other. The upside he could be, imagine if he wins the division every year. Imagine if he leads us to a Super Bowl. We're in the deep in the playoffs every year in the NFC Championship game. Think about the 85 Bears, Peyton, Dicka, Michael Jordan, the greatest sports icon, the greatest businessman in American sports history. What our city would do. If this guy's the guy and he takes us to the promised land, the upside he has, don't look at the downside that we kill quarterbacks.
Of course.
Let's look at the opportunity this guy has.
That's what I've always
said. It's immense.
Yes, yes. It's the one thing most of us who are of our age have not had. We've gotten to see, if you're 52 like me and you grew up in the city of Chicago, you've seen the 85 Bears, who is the most dominant team, one of the most dominant NFL teams ever. You got to see a dynasty in the Bulls. You've gotten to see a dynasty in the Blackhawks. You got to see, if you're a Sox fan, the Sox win the race of the baseball marathons. And then if you're a Cubs fan, you finally got to see the Cubs break down the 108-year barrier. And the drought there. So you've gotten to see everything except having the superstar at the most important position in all of sports. And if you get that, and like, I agree with him, and we've said that, he would be probably the most popular athlete in this town next to Michael Jordan.
No question. I don't even think he'll be close. With no disrespect meant to some of the other great athletes who have accomplished a ton in different sports for different teams. You know, the NFL is America's passion. And this is a Bears town. And we've never had a franchise difference-making quarterback. That guy, whoever that guy is, hopefully it's Caleb Williams, will be treated like a star for life.
I'm calling something up here. I wanted to do a quiz. Like, I don't want to do it against another trivia contest. Because you know this sort of stuff, but just to illustrate it, you know how popular Jim McMahon is in this town, right? Jim McMahon is still popular in this town.
Yeah.
The most touchdowns Jim McMahon ever threw in a single season in Chicago.
I don't know exactly. My guess would be 13.
15.
15.
In 1985.
Yeah.
The highest amount of touchdowns Jim McMahon in a single season ever threw. I get it, different time. But it's still only 15. The next highest year he had was 12.
Let's make no bones about it. They won that Super Bowl based on their defense and their running game.
The highest percentage Jim McMahon ever threw, completion percentage, in a single year for the Bears was 59.5% completion rate. The highest yardage total Jim McMahon ever threw for was 2,392 yards in a single season. By the way, when he threw 15 touchdowns, he threw for 11 interceptions. Like,
he is still adored in this town.
He's adored in this town. And if a guy, Caleb Williams, hopefully it's him, would go on and be a legitimate star quarterback, do you know what kind of place he would have in this town?
He would be second to Michael Jordan.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Which is a pretty nice place to be. So
it's incredible.
Here's hoping.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to Aki's A-List.
It's time for Aki's A-List. From the mind of the man who understands the four P's of Waddle's world, Aki's A-List. The top questions and topics floating around in Tyler Aki's mind.
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Aki's A-List on ESPN Chicago.
Because I don't think most general Bears fans understand how few touchdowns Jim McMahon threw for in his Bears career.
Oh, I know.
Something like 40 or something like that total.
Right, he was the right guy for that team, but nobody would ever look at Jim and say he was one of the all-time great quarterbacks or was a franchise-changing quarterback.
No. Uh-uh. No. 9, 12, 8, 15, 5, 12, and 6, and he was gone.
How many total?
Well, what's 12 plus 9 is 21, plus 8 is 29, plus 15 is what?
44.
So it was a little more than 40. So it's like 60 still. Something. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
We have wandered in the quarterback desert for decades.
All right, go ahead, Tyler. What are your questions?
All right. So there was a significant NFL move earlier today. The Eagles agreed to a 3-year extension with DeVonta Smith for three years, as I mentioned.
That's your guy.
It is my guy. $75 million with $51 million of that guaranteed. That'll make him tied for fourth among NFL receivers in terms of average annual value. We know that DJ Moore's contract is coming up shortly. How much money are you prepared to pay DJ Moore?
A lot. Yes. Like, because I expect his numbers to be on par with what they were this year. I don't expect them to go down at all.
He had, what, 1,350 yards receiving this year? Something in that neighborhood?
Yes. Yes. He's just entering his prime.
Now, look, there's a chance that those numbers will be affected by having Keenan Allen and potentially Rome Odunze or somebody else. But his effectiveness won't be diminished. Like, there's no question that I would be shocked if he had 1,300 receiving yards this year.
You would?
I would.
I still think there's enough to go around with a guy who will still throw and throw more effectively. Like, again, even though Justin targeted him and only him, I feel like you're going to have a quarterback who knows how to throw the football and should throw for 4,000 yards. But it is rookie year.
Yeah. No, I'm with you with that, but the next leading receiver was Darnell Mooney with 414 yards. My guess is, unless there's an injury, and God forbid that happens, Keenan Allen is going to have more than 414 yards. Some of that will just be the passing yards will go up.
Yes.
But I also think that some of it may come away. I don't know that DJ is going to get 136 targets this year with Keenan Allen and with potentially Rome Odunze. So I would, doesn't mean I'm going to pay him any less. I just wouldn't be surprised if the 1,364 came down a little bit.
I'm kind of with Sylvie there. I'd almost be surprised. Like, I guess the Odunze factor, we'll have to see what they do with nine. But if it's just him and Keenan Allen, you know, and maybe like Tyler Scott in his second year, there's more than enough for both those guys to go over 1,000 yards.
Like, I would set totals at like 90 and 1,200. Because I just think that if you're going to divvy up 4,000 yards or 3,800 yards, if the quarterback hits amongst, like, you don't have a, you still don't, where's all that, those yards going to, you have a quarterback, hopefully, who's going to throw for a much higher total than what Justin threw for.
Well, our hope is that for the first time ever, you're going to throw for 4,000 yards, for sure. Last year, there was a total of 3,400 yards receiving.
Like, if you think about it, all right, I'm using the Eagles as a template for this here, but Jalen Hurts threw for just under 3,900 yards last year. A.J. Brown had 1,450. DeVonta Smith had a little over 1,050 last year. You still have a very good tight end with Dallas Goedert, who's kind of Cole Kmet-ish, too. So, like, you look at that formula, you have a pass-catching running back as well with DeAndre Swift,
right,
who
same
is
running
now
back.
A Chicago Bear.
Right.
Like, there is room for, I think, both of them to have significant seasons.
Well, now, time out. I didn't say they weren't going to both have significant seasons.
Why do you got to bring them down, Waddle?
All I'm saying is
why do you got to diminish DJ Moore? He's not a threat to your history.
I think my exact statement was, it wouldn't affect what I would pay him, but I do believe that the receiving numbers will come down a little bit. And 1,200 is a little bit down. It's about 160 yards
it
down
is
from
less 13 something.
Right. That's all I'm saying. There are going to be more options. It's not going to be Tyler Scott out there screaming for the ball.
Hopefully, Scott's go up.
Well, here's hoping as well. He's still got to catch it. If you throw it to him, he's got to catch it. But Gerald Everett's going to add, Cole Kmet's going to get his. Look, I don't think that's what you want. I don't think you want 13, 60, and 700. What you'd rather have is a couple 1,200-yard receivers or 11 and 11. That's what you want.
How about 1,500 and 1,100?
Yeah.
Okay.
As long as we're winning.
Why do you hate throwing the football around, Tom?
As long as we're winning. As long as
he's scarred from all those bad years.
I'm scarred, yes. And those are recent years.
Yes, I know
here.
That.
Yeah,
all
here. Right.
One guy that could throw a wrench into that in terms of the pie and how it's spread around is a guy who you brought up there, Waddle, or a new receiver entering the mix like Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers. Brad Biggs put out his mock draft today and had the Bears trading out of 9, despite the fact that both Adunze and Malik Nabers were on the board.
What?
Would you be upset as a Bears fan if they passed on not one, but both receivers at number 9?
Yes.
And he had them passing to move back, right?
Move back to 11 and draft offensive tackle Troy Fautanu from Washington.
And I think the premise of what he was talking about was, is they're also going to recoup some draft currency, right?
And is this just because people would be so excited that Nabers and Adunze is on the board so you could get a lot for that pick?
Maybe so. I think if Nabers and Adunze are on the board, they're drafting one of them. That's what I think.
Look, here's my premise. I hope the Bears aren't drafting this high for a decade.
Oh.
I know that is a big thing to say, but I hope they're not drafting in the top 10 for another 10 years. This is enough with the draft parties.
How about for the next 25 years? Well, let's not draft in the top 10.
Well, that's great. But no more draft parties. No more. The party should be this season. Like, it should be drafting in the 20s from here on out. Finish with 10 wins and no more top 10 draft picks. 10 wins, no more top 10 draft picks. So my point is, draft a blue chip player. Get a blue chip guy while you can, and this is your last bite at that.
Well, and you're going to have an opportunity, unlike other years, because if in fact what some people are predicting, there could be 4 quarterbacks going 1 through 4, which I don't think has ever happened before. So that means everybody else in all the other positions get pushed back. And if that's the case, you're picking 5th in the second part of the first round, because that's one draft. One draft is 1 through 4 all quarterbacks. And then point, I'm picking 5th.
Right, of the position of the available plays.
At that point, you're going to find somebody that's a difference maker.
Right, right. You want to do the trivia now, Tyler?
Yeah, let's do the trivia now.
Okay. All right, so around 5:20 each and every day this week, we've got tickets to the sold-out Bears draft party. This is the official draft party, as we are your home for the Bears right here on ESPN 1000. And we've got your draft coverage all day Thursday, not just on Thursday. I mean, leading up to it, afterwards. By the way, after the draft on that Friday, too, we're going to be out at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Celebrating a great draft.
Yeah, with Carmen and Yurko. Which one is that? In Woodridge?
Woodridge, yes.
So that's the day after, but first things first. We're at the draft party at Soldier Field a week from Thursday. And here are your tickets for the first correct caller who can answer this at 312-332-3776. We do believe that the Bears are going to select Caleb Williams out of USC with the first overall pick. Tell me the last time the Bears drafted a player from USC with a first-round pick. When was the last time the Bears drafted a player from USC with their first round pick? 312-332-3776. 3776. That is the question. If you're the first correct caller, you'll win a pair of tickets to the Bears official draft party. You'll see us there and a cast of hundreds from ESPN 1000. We'll give you the answer and the good, the bad, the dirty coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Ah, commuting in Chicago. If you're stuck, stick with Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
All right, let's get the correct answer here. Let's go to Jeremy in Buffalo Grove. The question for the tickets to the Bears draft party was, Caleb Williams going to be the Bears' first overall pick. It would be a huge, 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 huge upset if he wasn't. Out of USC, when was the last time the Bears used their first round pick on a draft pick out of USC? Jeremy, what is the correct answer?
1993, wide receiver Curtis Conway.
That is correct.
Well done, Jeremy.
Yeah, the reason, too, is that was my first job in high school was at a Dominic's Finer Foods in Buffalo Grove. He used to come in all the time.
Nice. How was he to you?
He was very quiet, actually.
Yeah. Good dude.
Yeah, I always had a great experience talking to Curtis Conway when I was on the beat. He was good to me. Yep.
The best player I ever met was Trace Armstrong there.
Trace a good man as well.
Yeah.
Who was a jerk to you at Dominic's?
Richard Dent.
Wow.
Come on.
Yeah. He ran away from kids asking for autographs.
Oh, the sack man leaveth.
Yeah. He left. Yeah.
All right, Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hold on. Before he's able to besmirch any other former Bears.
Hey, did you get his info, by the way?
Okay, good. Yeah, it's Jeremy from Buffalo Grove. Yeah, that's all he said.
No, but I wanted to make sure we got his stuff. Did you play for a year or two with Curtis? Yeah, with Curtis Conway.
Great kid. Very talented. Don't you remember this? Like he was not a fan of the cold weather.
That's the thing too. I remember he had a tough time adjusting to the cold
early on, but then, I mean, he became a hell of a player.
Yes.
It didn't bother him.
And also the other thing that came up is, who is he married to these days?
One of Muhammad Ali's daughters.
Yes. Yes. Wasn't he in the media for a little bit, too?
I think he was for a short period of time.
On the NFL Network?
Yes. And I was just going to ask if he was still involved in some way in the media, but I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him in a long time on television.
And there were a lot of guesses for John Allred, the tight end. He was not a first-round pick. But the year that he was drafted, I believe in 97 or 98, he was their first pick. But I believe he was either a second or third round selection.
He wasn't with the team for all that long a time.
He was a reach for them. I remember I got intel. This is one of my first years, or I was on the beat for a little bit. I got intel they were going to draft him. And I remember, like, in Joel Bushbaum's book, in the Pro Football Weekly book, he was rated lower. But I had intel that the Bears were going to draft him. I knew someone connected to the Bears who told me they were going to grab him with that pick. And we went around. I was at Hallis Hall on the WGN coverage, and Hub was in studio. And we went around the room. And who do you think the Bears are going to take with their selection?
And you said John Allred.
And I said John Allred. And I got tipped off that the Bears were going to take him.
Did they poo-poo you?
And Hub said, that's absolutely terrible. There's no chance they would ever take John Allred. It's a huge reach. He is projected to be a six-round pick. There's no way they'd take him. And then they go to the podium with these 48th pick or whatever, the Chicago Bears select John Allred. It's like Twitter these days, by the way. When I've got a source and people are telling me, Sylvie, there's no way that you know what you're talking about. And they select John Allred.
So what was the response
in the
room?
Hub apologized.
Oh, he did?
He
Good.
Did apologize
Hub's
to me on
guy.
The air.
Yeah.
And, but again, like...
But at the end of the day, you were right. And his skepticism may turn out to have been right because John Allred never developed as a player.
And he wasn't good. And do you remember the family connection that John Allred had?
John Allred's connection.
Or has now.
I forget. I remember Adam Archuleta was released, like grandfather was his big television producer or movie producer in Hollywood. But I don't remember the John Allred.
I believe John Allred's sister is married to John Lynch.
Okay. Kind of remember that.
So that's what John Allred ended up being most
Lynch
known
family,
for.
A better football family than the Allred family.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's get to the good, the bad, the dirty.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
It was being second-guessed back in 97 or whenever it was, yeah. And I'm still being second-guessed.
Well, there was some second-guessing going on upstairs as to whether or not he was from USC.
Yeah, I for some reason, I thought he went to Stanford.
I thought all of a sudden I looked over and
Mellor
I saw Hub.
Was right. Yeah.
I saw Hub.
Mellor knew that he was from USC.
Well, I was answering the trivia question, when was the last time the Bears drafted someone from USC? And I was like, wasn't it Allred?
I'm like, he went to Stanford, didn't he? The good, the bad, the dirty is brought to you by Avondale Roofing. If your roof, commercial, or residential has taken a beating, check out Avondale Roofing. Search AvondaleRoofing.com and read their reviews. Sign up for a free estimate. Avondale on top until you're satisfied. All right, we'll go around the room. One thing good, one thing bad.
I love that.
One thing that we perceive dirty. What, until you're satisfied?
No, on top until you're satisfied. Right? That is a great...
It is.
It's a great motto.
Yes, we should all take that as a life motto. Go ahead, Mr. On Top.
My good is at the Masters after tapping in for par on the 16th hole. Two of the greatest, Tiger Woods and Vern Lundquist, had an opportunity to share a moment. I don't believe Vern had been lifted up into his perch at that time, or else he came down and was going back up. But he made a point of shaking Tiger's hand as Tiger left the 16th green. And obviously this, at the age of 83, I believe, is the last Masters Vern will call. Just thought it was a really cool moment.
You want some sound of a few
great.
Of these? Yeah. This is a couple of... there's one of him on the green with Vern in the background, yeah. I think one of the meeting.
Legend and legend. I hope someone gets a picture of that. That is so cool. A man with magic in his hands, looked on by a man with magic in his voice. Those two, over the last 25 years, the definition of the Masters.
That's when Tiger was on the green, and this is with the meeting.
He has told the story of the Masters, and he has the appreciation of all of us, the appreciation of Tiger Woods. Vern, we thank you.
It was great, and not a lot of people saw it, probably because Tiger played so early and was done before most of the guys that were on the leaderboard were teeing off. But I thought it was really cool. If you love golf, and even if you aren't like a diehard golf fan, you're probably still a fan of Tiger Woods, and you've probably heard Vern Lundquist do really good stuff on the air. So I thought it was great.
My good, I had a couple of things, but and I was going back and forth on what I'm going to use. I'm going to go with the SNL bet with Caitlin Clark on Weekend Update. And we don't have enough time to play the whole thing here. But if you can go online, and if you did not see it, who is the anchor and the comedian who did the...
Michael Che. Doing Weekend Update.
He did the Weekend Update joke about Caitlin Clark exchanging her jersey for an apron. And I'm telling you, if you watch it, I think they really, truly surprised him by bringing out Caitlin Clark. I don't think he anticipated that, or that was a scripted thing. If you watch it, and then Caitlin Clark comes out on the Weekend Update stage and then starts reading a bunch of jokes, or she says she scripted jokes, and he ends up reading off the prompter what these jokes are, ripping him. It was so good. And just to go further, I'm excited to watch the WNBA draft tonight. I want to see what the Sky get at number 3. I want to see what the Sky get at number 7. And I hope that they get Angel Reese. I want them to capitalize off of some of the excitement from the NCAA tournament. She is a player that you will go to games to go watch play. Cardoza, a player who won the national championship from UConn, who is...
She's with South Carolina, I think, isn't she?
What did I say?
UConn.
What, UConn? I meant South Carolina, yeah. Who won the championship. South Carolina, all the rebounds, all the points in the post, who is, I think, just a freshman, right? Wasn't she? Young player? I would love to see them get one of those two, maybe both. Who knows? But I'm excited to watch the WNBA draft tonight.
For me, gentlemen, I have to turn my attention to the Houston Rockets LA Clippers game. I know everyone was locked in on that yesterday afternoon. A meaningless game for the Houston Rockets. They had already been eliminated from the playoffs, but that did not stop everybody's favorite 7'4" Serbian, Boban, from delivering free chicken for all who were in crypto.com stadium yesterday, because Boban, an imposing player for the Rockets, delivered with 2 consecutive missed free throws, which then allowed every fan in attendance free Chick-fil-A, because that's what happens if the opponent misses 2 consecutive free throws. Boban intentionally missed both free throws, and after missing the second one, threw up his finger in the air as he was running back on defense. It was classic. I love it.
Giant finger, too.
My good Boban.
One of the biggest human beings I've ever seen.
7'4", just an action, just a crazy, crazy, ridiculously looking Serbian. You gotta love him.
I loved it.
It was awesome.
He's a 64% free throw shooter to begin with, so he didn't have to try hard to miss, but I thought it was cool.
Well, the fact that he was letting everybody know that he was missing on purpose.
Yeah, this one's for you, everybody.
You think it was on purpose?
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
I don't know. I think it was.
He's like playing it off as that was for all of you guys.
Well, he was pointing to himself before he missed the second one.
Like, hey, I'm going to get it for you.
Yeah.
You have Boban to thank, everybody.
My good from the weekend, I think the top of the leaderboard in general at the Masters, even though Scotty did run away with it, it was really fun to track the entire weekend. Scotty was fantastic. He was nails. He basically just was unflapped by any challenge the course threw at him. But also, how about the youngster Ludvig Åberg as well, who finished second at the Masters in just his first major start? He's going to be one of these up-and-coming golfers who... Right now, he's 24 years old, I believe. He's going to continue to challenge for majors over the course of the rest of the year, I think. But he was a lot of fun to watch as well this weekend.
Yeah, he had such a cool, calm demeanor the whole time.
His first major, and he finished his second.
I didn't think there were any nerves attached to his play at all.
No doubt.
It was cool.
And he played in the Ryder Cup last year and was pretty good for Europe.
Yep. What's your bad?
My bad is Julio Rodriguez getting picked off of first with 2 outs, down 1 in the bottom of the ninth. I had never seen it. I'm not suggesting it was the only time it's ever happened, because we found out that it happened in 2003 when Joe Borowski was the Cubs pitcher who did it. But I don't think I don't remember ever seeing it. And that is an inexcusable baseball crime, isn't it?
I'll take it. Like, of that course, that bullpen gave me an ulcer.
Well, by the way, I mean, Neris walked the bases full inning before.
And then he's pounding his chest after he got out of it. I'm like, dude, you induced all that problem.
Yeah. But for a bullpen that had been shaky.
Yes.
I mean, that is an unforgivable baseball sin, isn't it? To be picked off of first to the final out of the game, down 1.
But I was so happy.
My God.
I could not believe they won that game. My bet is Angel Hernandez calling balls and strikes. It went viral again. It was the rookie from Texas who got rung up on like a pitch that was 6 inches.
Is he doing it on purpose now?
I don't understand this. If there's an athlete who is at the end of the line, he has to retire. He has to. If there's a manager who loses it, unless you're Tony La Russa, you have to retire. But an umpire can sue Major League Baseball and keep his job. We've talked about this on this show before. Even if you're of age where your eyes are going bad on balls and strikes, you could still ump the bases, but you shouldn't be able to, like, in which sport are you able to rotate? Okay, it's your turn to ump home. Then you get a chance to ump third. And then you get a chance to ump second. That's not what sports is, except in Little League. You don't get to take turns. You're either good at something or you're not good at something. And when you're not good at something anymore, you don't get a chance to do it anymore. Angel Hernandez should not get a chance to umpire anymore. You suck. It's bad that he gets a chance to ump.
My bad. You referenced Waddle, how Julio Rodriguez was picked off to end the game yesterday. I will reference the uniform that the Mariners were wearing, which was not their Sunday cream-colored uniforms, which is designated as what they wear at home, because it did not arrive in time for the Mariners to wear it.
Oh, boy.
And oh, by the way, Bryce Miller, the Mariners pitcher the other day, the previous day, he wore the Bat Boys pants because his uniform didn't properly fit when they had the city.
Bat Boy pants.
The Bat Boys pants, the starting pitcher the day before, wore because his didn't fit properly. The MLB uniforms continue to be a disgrace.
My bad from the weekend, Pete Crow Armstrong. If you saw the play, there was a ball that was well over the wall, but he came charging in like a bat out of hell, and he got rocked by the wall. You cannot do that at Wrigley Field when you are back up with the pro club, because that is a brick wall that you are literally running into, and he is going to get seriously injured. It will be worse than anything we've seen Aloy do.
What is your dirty?
My dirty is real life dirty. I don't know if you guys saw this story. It continues to be horrible even in death. But O.J. Simpson's will says he'll do everything possible to ensure that the Goldman family gets zero from his estate when it's liquidated. He's never paid a nickel to the Goldman family, who won the civil case and were awarded $33.5 million in 1997 in the wrongful death lawsuit. They haven't seen a dime. And part of his last will and testament was that they will fight any money that would be going to the Goldman family. Just in death, well, it's still the whole story.
Waddle, to your point, worse yet is the attorney who's representing. Listen, he can carry out OJ's will all he wants, but the way he's going about speaking about it is just, it's heinous.
It is. It's beyond dirty.
My dirty is Shota. Shota has an ERA of 0 through 3 of his starts. This is a guy, remember, who had to pursue the Cubs more than the Cubs pursued him. He was living in Chicago in the offseason, and he's like, hey.
Sometimes those are the best marriages.
He's like, his agent called the Cubs again saying, I'm living here, guys. I really want to pitch for you guys. Let's make a deal. And then the Cubs finally came to the negotiating table, and they signed him, and thank goodness they did. He has a 0.00 earned run average, and I am thankful he's a Cub.
My dirty is dirty good. Yesterday afternoon, boys, how about Frank Nazar making his NHL debut, fresh off of playing in the NCAA championships for the Michigan Wolverines?
Getting his ass ripped
on Thursday.
By DC.
Yes, of course. He then on Friday signs his, or was it Saturday? He signed his pro contract with the Hawks, and then on his first NHL shot, he scores a goal. Of course, the Hawks lost 4-2 because that's what they do these days. But it's good to see Connor Bedard have some reinforcements come to help him out.
You know what the Blackhawks need? Maybe a team meeting with Pedro Grafal on the top step. Maybe he'll get them right.
How often do you think that's happened where a guy has scored on his first shot in the NHL?
That's a good. I have no
probably
idea.
Probably very infrequently.
Yeah. More often homering in your first at bat or homering on your first shot?
Definitely first at bat.
First at bat.
I feel like you see that not like a lot, but you see that a couple times a year, I feel like. My good is, or my dirty rather, is one of our teammates' brothers. Justin Pottinger's brother, Adam Pottinger, plays baseball for Indiana State. 7-for-13 over the weekend, drove in 11 runs and hit 3 bombs in the series sweep over Bradley. So,
wow.
Dirty good for Adam Pottinger.
Not Adam Pottinger, not Smokey.
Well, he's smoking baseballs. That's what he's doing.
He was, but
from Deerfield, yes?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And well done. On Indiana State.
Yeah.
We watched him play in the College World Series a couple of years ago. It was last year, maybe.
Last year, yeah.
Good for him.
It's incredible. All right, there you go. The good, the bad, the dirty. A couple. I want to give you a Bulls thing before we leave. Something on the Bulls as they concluded the regular season, but that's not all for the Bulls. They've got something coming up on Wednesday. We'll get to that next.
Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago. Chicago. This is Waddle and Sylvie. Listen now in HD on our app and on ESPN 1000.
Crosstalk usually brought to you by Steinhoffels. We'll crosstalk with Leck and Abdallah when we don't have a White Sox game. We'll do that in a couple of days. We've got Sox and Royals today for Chicagoland locations of Steinhoffels. Check them out today. One thing I want to say, the other good that I was going to have was, how about Friday, the Bulls with the backup Bulls getting me my over 38 and a half wins.
Good for you.
They got me my 39th win. That was a fun Bulls team that played on Friday against Washington.
It was?
Well, it was, yes.
Was it more fun because you cashed a ticket?
Maybe because I cashed a ticket. Maybe because it was against Washington. Oh. But I felt like all of their backups and their players, those were fun players to watch play on Friday. I enjoyed watching them play. Sanogo, is that his name, who had a 2020 double-double?
Sure.
It was great. From UConn? All right, Royals coming up next against the White Sox. Thank you to Meller. Thank you to Tyler. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
It's the classic!
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bump, 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 bump.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.
I just want to say thank you all, and as always, f*** everybody else. I love y'all.